have your Bibles, turn to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. The book of Colossians chapter 1. So many things happen in this world that we ask God about and say there's this trouble, that trouble, you know. And most of our prayers, unfortunately, most of our prayers are prayers asking for help. And most of the time when we run into real big troubles, we go, I don't understand where God is or what he's doing, you know, and we get discouraged. But in the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul gave a different attitude. And I would like to share that attitude and some of the reasons behind it today. It's a marvelous attitude to have instead of being down and despondent and woe is me. I feel like I've been rode hard and put out wet and all that stuff. Instead of all of that, the Apostle Paul has an attitude of thank you. Thank you. We start at verse 3 in chapter 1. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and ye knew the grace of God in truth. Let's pray. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we go through this message and this teaching, we ask, dear Lord, that you open our eyes and open our hearts. Open our eyes that we can see the truth. Open our hearts that we can accept it. Dear Lord, be with us always. And thank you for being there always. These things we say in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing that Paul wanted to tell the church at Colossae is thank you. I want to thank God for the wonderful things I've seen and heard about you. You know, sometimes we think nobody ever knows when we do something good, right? But Paul, he was there in Rome, and he said, I've heard about all the good things that you've done. And it wasn't just good things that you've done for the sake of doing good things. It wasn't just because you were somebody that said, I'm going to turn around and make some kind of charitable organization or anything like that. He said, because I know what you were like before. I know what you were like before, and I want to thank God for the things you've done since you came to know Jesus Christ. The things you did before, they were for you. And Jesus himself says that when you do something like that, then you already have your reward. You do something, you know, to say, hey, look at me, see how good I am. He says, look, you've already got your reward there. But Paul said to the people of Colossae, I've seen things that you've done since Jesus came into your heart. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you for doing those things even when I'm not around, even when nobody's watching, or when you thought nobody was watching, because he'll tell you in verse 7 that there was this guy who actually came from the church and told Paul about it. So suddenly it was like, okay, you thought maybe you were just doing this stuff in secret, but there's people that will witness to what you've done. I remember as a little child wondering how my parents always knew when I did something wrong, even though both of them were at work, nobody was at home. How in the world could they possibly know? Well, they had set up a system where they could watch. There were witnesses there. We have a bulletin board that we're fixing to put up in our fellowship hall where we're going to post pictures of all the events that we have pictures for, you know, showing from the very beginning of the church all the way up to as late as we've got pictures. And it'll show you with people that are walking around and talking and shouting and singing and laughing and crying and praying. It will show all kinds of things that happened to people once they came to know Jesus Christ. And he says, that's the first thing I want to do. I want to thank you for being a child of God. I want to thank you for knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Why would he say that? One reason is he's not alone. You see, there are so many things that you can say, I think this and I think that, and it's my opinion is it's okay for you, but it's not okay for me. But all of that is your opinion. When you are a person who belongs to a family of God, when you are a child of God, when you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life, then you are no longer alone. You're part of a family of God. And you can say, hey, I know my Redeemer liveth. I know Jesus saved me because he came into my heart. And I have a witness. I have other people who can say the same thing. And when you look around and you see that we've got 1.2 billion people on the planet right now that claim to be Christians. I won't say they're all saved, but they claim that they are Christians. 1.2 billion people that say they have given their life to Jesus Christ and they acknowledge that Jesus Christ lives and he is real. Then you've got to have more than just, well, it's okay for you, but not okay for me, as an excuse, don't you see? Because there's a lot more people here. I want to thank God for redemption. I want to thank God for saving my soul. He says here, for this cause, in verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. But I need prayers and you need prayers. And Paul says, I'm going to add my prayers to all of it, that you will do things and learn things about Jesus Christ. That you won't just be, hey, I came to a church, I kneeled down, I accepted Christ, now I can do anything I want. Paul says, I'm praying for you always that you might be filled with knowledge. Now, you can't be filled with knowledge if you never open your Bible. You cannot be filled with knowledge if you never share what you've learned with somebody else, because if you try that, you never get any feedback. You never discover whether you're right or wrong. I can come up with a complete philosophy and a complete and total theology about God. But if I don't share it with those who have gone before, those that are older than me, the elders in the church, and if they don't acknowledge and tell me that this is the truth, this, they found that out in their life, it works like that. You know? If I don't have any affirmation, then I really haven't learned anything, have I? Somebody said, do you know how to add, to a college student? And they said, well, a little bit. Says, you know, 1 plus 1 is 11, 2 plus 2 is 22. I get confused after that. Well, I got confused by the answer. 1 plus 1 is 11, 2 plus 2 is 22. What's that? That's not new math, and that's not knowledge that you can take through life. And that's a college student that supposedly has been educated in the greatest educational system on the face of the earth, in the United States. Now, listen, folks. You can say that you believe in Jesus Christ, but if you don't know anything about him, how can you follow him? We say that we'll follow Jesus. There's a song that says, footsteps of Jesus makes the pathway glow. And if we never open our Bibles, if we never learn anything about Jesus, how do we know where his footsteps are? how can we follow him? Paul says, I'm praying. I thank God that you're a Christian. I thank God that you claim Christ as your Savior. I thank God for that. But I'm praying that you learn, that you grow in knowledge, so that when I come, you can teach something to me. It's a real sad situation when you can't learn something from somebody else who's been a Christian longer than you. It's almost as sad as when you learn something from a Christian who is a lot younger than you. And I can give you an illustration here. There was a professor that was talking about evolution and talking about how things got made and all this stuff. And a little six-year-old boy said, all I know is the bird couldn't fly until it had wings. And God put them there. I tell you what, that professor learned something from that little kid. The bird couldn't fly until he had wings. And God's the one that put them there. We learn something, and we learn more as life goes on. He says, I want to thank God, not just for your redemption, not just that you've learned something, but I also want to thank God for this, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, bringing fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. See, that's twice that he's asked. Once that you have the knowledge to seek God out when you're having trouble, and now then that you seek God out when you're not having trouble. How many of us pray when we're not in trouble? how many of us thank God and just say, God, I just want to fellowship with you for a little bit. I just want to talk with you for a little bit. I just want to share some things that have been going on in my life. Good things, you know. I had the greatest steak. I mean, God, you grew that cow up just perfect and provided it. Somehow or other, it got all the way from Kansas to Texas and ended up on my plate, and it was the best steak I ever had. Why was it so great? Well, part of it might be because you thanked God for receiving it before you started eating it. How many of us today even bother to thank God for our food? We say, well, we're so busy. We're in such a big hurry. I've seen guys, and I've been guilty of it myself, running down the street trying to get from one appointment to the next with a sandwich in our hand and just stuffing it into our face trying to get it finished before we got to our appointment. Never thanking God for at least giving us the legs to run to the appointment. Never thanking God for at least giving us the mouth where we could eat it. Never thanking God for providing a place where we could buy a hamburger pretty cheap and make it legal in the state of Texas. I'm telling you, I feel sorry for those guys, those school kids in Virginia, where it's illegal to buy a cheeseburger in the school cafeteria. Doesn't meet the federal guidelines. Last year, it was peanut butter and jelly sandwiches that were outlawed. They could not eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in the school cafeteria. And if they tried to buy one, or if they tried to eat one and got caught by one of the monitors, they would grab that sandwich out of the child's hand and throw it in the trash, saying, that's not good for you. I grew up on peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I mean, really. My wife says it really tastes good when you put a slice of banana with it. I don't know about that. She eats it that way. I don't. But it doesn't meet federal guidelines, so it's against the rules and you can't have it. I thank God I live in a state where I can eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich if I want to, and not worry about getting fined $50 for putting down the wrong thing on my plate. Last year it was against the law for them to have pizza, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, cheeseburgers of all things, in our schools, who are supposedly telling us the good things. Supposed to be teaching our children how to grow up right with God and how to live in society and contribute and do those things which are right. I thank God the state I'm in makes it possible for that to happen. I thank God that I live in a state called Texas instead of a state called California, because there I don't have to worry about whether or not the children are going to be violated as they go into their locker rooms and showers and even their own restrooms. You ask what that's all about. The state of California's got a new law that goes into effect in January. Okay, brand new law All that has to happen is the kid stands up and says, I feel like the opposite sex today. And now they can use all the facilities of the opposite sex and nobody can deny them. We need to seek the knowledge of God. We don't need to be seeking this knowledge that's made by man that leads to confusion. We need to seek the knowledge of God. God has never failed. God has never given us a wrong answer. He says, you know what? There's two sexes. There's male and there's female. And you're one or the other. You know? I mean, there's no such thing as saying, hey, I just think I'm going to change sexes every other day or every third day or every time I see a new person in the school and I think I want to get a good look at them. No, that's not the way God works. And it's not the way that we should work. We should always seek that which is right in God's eyes. I thank God that He's given us a brain where we can figure some things out without having to get a computer. Did you know that drinking too much will hurt you? Did you know that? Did you know getting drunk will hurt you? Did you know that out of every $5 spent on alcohol, $2 of it goes to pay for the health cost, things that have been broken, the cirrhosis of the liver and other troubles and trials that happen because you drink too much? Notice I didn't say just have one drink, a glass of wine. I'm not going to violate the rule of God and the law of God. God says it's okay every once in a while to have a glass of wine for your stomach's sake. But he also tells us it's wrong for us to get drunk. And there's a reason. It took them all this time, over 5,000 years of civilization, to discover that two-fifths of the money that we make and the money we spend on booze, two-fifths of it goes to cover the cost of our getting sick because of it. 5,000 years for that? What if we just sought God and thanked God for telling us, hey, don't do that. It'll hurt you. What if we just believe the Word of God? I thank God. He says, I want to give thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints of life. That's in verse 12. Notice, I want to thank God. We can ask God for a lot of things. But here Paul says, I want to thank God for all of my fellow Christians. All of those who have gone before me, the saints. All of those who are still here. All of those who worship God. I want to thank God that when I come to a church house, I've got people that I can sing with. You know? I can sing a solo. Some of you that have been around for a while, you know I can sing a solo, sometimes pretty good, sometimes not so good. And I know every single one of you can sing a solo sometimes. My wife says the only way she's going to do it is in a shower where nobody can hear her. You know? But I can lift up my voice in praise. Paul says, I want to thank God there are those that will share that praise with me. When something good happens in your life and you share that with me, I thank God for allowing it to happen. I thank God that, you know, Sister Nita, years ago, got a brand new car. I didn't get a new car, but she got a new car, and it was awesome to see that God could provide a way where she could have a piece of transportation she didn't have to worry about and fuss and fight over all the time. It was absolutely outstanding. And I thank God that He reached down and touched my brother and healed his cancer so that he doesn't have to worry about the cancer. You know, it's a wonderful thing when God does something like that. I can't answer why He doesn't do that sometimes. We ask Him, God heal this cancer, it doesn't get healed. But I can thank God that there's a whole lot of people that will join me in prayer and join me in fellowship and lift our brothers and sisters up. You know, Sister Vicky, she's gone to be with God now. But when we were praying with her, she was lifting us up. We weren't lifting her up. She said, I've got an appointment. I'm going to a city. My mansion's already built. I'm ready to see Jesus. She's got a much better deal than I've got. I don't see Jesus right now, but she does. Fanny Crosby, when she was writing all of her hymns, over 8,000 of them, blind as a bat, couldn't see a thing. She said, just think, the very first thing I'm ever going to see is my Savior, my Lord, Jesus. I tell you what, I can thank God that there's people like that. I can thank God that will call me up on the telephone sometime. They'll call up and they'll just say, hey, I just wanted to talk with you and share a little bit about what God's done for me. Paul said, I thank God for this. I want to thank the one who has delivered us from the power of darkness. I want to thank the one who has delivered us from the power of sin. I want to thank the one who will tell me and let me know, and maybe sometimes dramatically, that things I used to like, things I used to seek out. I mean, there were things that I used to go for and I would try and hide it from everybody. I didn't want anybody else to know that I was doing this, but I thought it was kind of clever and kind of neat, so I would go and try and do these things. And they were against the will of God. And I thank God that now I don't have that desire to go out there and try and sneak around anymore. You know? I don't have that desire to try and do things which I know are against the will of God. I've learned enough that those things that I do know are wrong, I don't desire anymore. Now, there are some things that I don't know whether they're wrong or not. God hasn't revealed it to me. And I thank God there are Christians out there that will come alongside and maybe say, hey, you know, brother or sister, this part of what you're doing, it's wrong. And we can share on that. Not in anger. Not with somebody saying, hey, I'm going to beat you over the head with a 2x4 and make you quit. I'm not going to throw you in jail. I'm not going to do that kind of thing to make you try and do what's right. You can throw a drug addict in jail every single day of the week. And when he gets out, guess what he's going to do over 80% of the time? Go back to the drugs. Why? Because he doesn't know anything else. But when he meets Jesus, oh man, when he meets Jesus, when that drug addict actually discovers Jesus Christ in his life, what a wonderful change in his life is wrought. You remember Dr. Jack Collins, a missionary to the prison ministry that we contribute to. He sent us a letter from this guy that was not just a biker. He wasn't just a drug addict. He wasn't just a thief. He wasn't just a murderer. But he was a full-blown, 100% hardcore Satanist. And the last thing he wanted to do was talk to a Christian preacher. The last thing he wanted to do was to talk to a child of God. Somebody that knew Jesus. Somebody that worshiped the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That was the absolute last thing he wanted to do. But one day when he was crying in his cell and he was just hurting so bad he wanted to talk to anybody that would talk, he turned around and guess who was there? Dr. Collins. And he talked to him and he shared him the story of Jesus. And that satanic, murdering, thieving, lying biker became a child of God. I thank God that he has that power, that he can reach down and cleanse the vilest sinner. The worst sinner in the world. God can reach down and cleanse him and change him and lift him up to where he can lead and others can follow. If you think that's not true, just read the story of Moses sometime and start when he's still considering himself a son of Pharaoh and he kills a man. What do you think happens to a murderer? And what do you think happened to Moses? Read the Bible. Paul said, I thank God that you've increased in that. I want to thank God that He is able to deliver us from the power of darkness. And I want to thank God for the redemption of us all. The redemption of our souls. When is the last time you prayed to God and you said, God, I just want to thank you for saving my soul. I just want to thank you for making that possible. That when I cried out to you, you heard and answered that prayer. And Jesus is now part of my life. Oh, folks, if we can just say a prayer of thanks. Thank you, Lord, for the time that we've known each other. Thank you, Lord, for the time that we'll still know each other. I mean, I don't know when God's going to call any of us home. But I do know that even after somebody has been called home, memories remain. We're able to look back and we have memories, some of them very precious memories, of when somebody came up and just gave us a hug and said, I don't know why he gave us a hug. I don't know why they called up. I don't know. But it was just exactly what I needed. God knew. He answered the prayer. Let's all stand. Oh, most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we're able to spend together. We thank you, dear Lord, for saving our soul. We thank you, dear Lord, for living within us. We thank you, dear Lord, for allowing us to be together as a group, singing and praising your name. Go with us, dear Lord, through the remainder of the week and the month and the years ahead. Help us to grow in grace. Help us to find others to share your wondrous love. All these things we ask, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.